Okay.
Yeah.
Listeners.
Come on, Katie. Let's
okay,
go.
Listeners, I need to tell you something. As you know, Alan and I record two episodes in one night. We just finished spending like an hour and 10 minutes talking about Mad Max Fury Road for our Patreon podcast. I saw you roll your eyes.
It's Mad Max.
It's Mad Max. I'm sorry. It's hard. It's just my brain says Mad Max. So we're all worked up and we're going to bring it down so many notches for this movie.
What? What's to bring it down? Oh, sad Vietnam stories? God.
I think I suggested this movie like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't.
We just kept putting it off because it was too sad.
I should have just pushed it. Just
you should have salt and peppered that shit, Doc.
That's so inappropriate for this movie.
Speaking of inappropriate, so much of Elizabeth Peña's boobs in the beginning of this movie.
The first act is 90% Elizabeth Peña's nipples. Yeah. God rest her soul.
What?
She's dead. Yeah.
No,
years ago.
Know.
Yeah.
That's such a bummer.
I think complications related to alcoholism.
Oh,
yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
She was great.
Yeah, she was great.
She's really good in this movie.
She's such a monster. She's such a bad person.
In this movie?
Yes.
But she's a demon. What do you want?
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, she's like a demonic figment of his imagination.
None of this ever happened, though.
No.
No, there's... Okay, first of all, no such thing as demons.
What?
Yeah.
Next, you're going to tell me there's no such thing as angels.
Do you believe in angels? Oh, Josh. Fucking Nom, though. I'll tell you what.
Fucking Nom with a beautiful, beautiful young Ving Rhames.
And Eric LaSalle.
And Eric LaSalle.
Oh, Eric LaSalle.
And X-Files alum Pruitt Taylor Vince.
Yes.
From
I
the
like
Undra
him. Yes.
Episode.
This movie has a very X-Filian vibe to it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I should say X-Files has a very Jacob's Ladder vibe in terms of timing.
Yeah. This came out in 90.
So did that actually, right?
Yeah.
90? Yeah.
Somewhere like 90,
91. Yeah. Great time for weird government conspiracies.
Watching this movie, I was like, this is a movie that makes me feel like I'm smarter than I am. Because I feel like, you know, as kind of a dummy, like I'm watching this and being like, oh, there's a lot going on here. There's a lot to unpack.
I don't think you're a dummy.
Okay.
I think it's good that you recognize there's a lot to unpack. And I had a similar experience, really, where I was like, I see a lot of references to Baroque and Renaissance art in
Fuck
here.
Yeah. But also like literature. There's a ton of Dante stuff going on. But I was wondering, like, is this like smart movie for dumb people or like just smart movie?
I think it's a smart movie. I don't think we have to try to find a way to put ourselves down.
What? What do you want me to do here? So this starts off in a way that I love for movies to start off in Vietnam. I love a Vietnam movie.
I hate war movies.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, war is the most awful thing on the planet. If I said to someone, I hate child abuse movies, would they be like, really? You know, it's fucking awful. I don't want to look at it. I'm sorry all of it happened.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think just because I grew up watching MASH.
Sure.
Which is
Korea, right?
It's Korea, but it's an allegory for Vietnam.
Okay.
When I was in high school, you know, Full Metal Jacket, Platoon.
Sure.
What was it? China Beach, the TV show. There was like all this Vietnam shit going on because I went to high school like 20 years after Vietnam ended.
Sure.
So like it was like the people who went through that were finally at a point where they were making the television.
Yeah, making
movies.
Cultural reference to it. Yeah.
So I grew up on all that shit. So it's like a warm blanket for me to see like sad men in the jungle.
I hate it. I just hate it. Did you know they remade this movie? And had to be about Afghanistan.
No.
Yeah. And Jesse Williams is in it.
Who's that?
The hunky guy from Cabin in the Woods. I know that's like my touch point for everything.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch that.
No, I'm not going to.
See that. Yeah.
Critically panned.
That's going to go with the Thing remake. Like,
never.
I'm just not going to do that.
No.
So it's a really weird opening scene, too, because when we first meet all the Vietnam dudes, they all look like they're already dead. They're all like sitting with their heads down and like their hands in their laps or laying down.
Yeah, I missed that.
And
reference.
Then they sort of like come to life.
Yeah.
And then we see helicopters landing with soldiers jumping off the helicopters.
Yeah.
And there's like the really weird scene where I'm going to say I'm going to try and say Tim Robbins because that's the author and not Tim Robbins because my brain's going to mix them up.
Oh, Tom Robbins.
Yeah.
Of Skinny Legs and All. And yeah. Oh, Still Life with Woodpecker is one of my favorite books of all time.
Same.
I switched to Camel cigarettes as a result of reading that book.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. Smoked Camels for a long time.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
I love that book.
Oh, man. I love when we find these like touchstones that we share.
I can't believe we've never talked about that. Aww.
I feel like I was reading a lot of him and Vonnegut at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. Were you like 22? Because I was.
Yeah,
of course. Totally. Yes.
Yeah. Just 10 years earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. Life comes at you fast.
So Tim Robbins is like taking a shit and he comes back and they're like, oh, are you pooping again? And his response is, and they're like teasing him. And the only thing he's doing is giggling.
Yeah, he never responds. Well, he does respond to Ving Rhames, who says,
because Ving Rhames is like, do you want to play with my big black rooster?
Come choke my black rooster. Yeah. And he said, I don't have tweezers.
And then they're like, oh. Yeah. And the two of the guys, or no, three of them are smoking weed.
Yeah.
Ving Rhames, Pruitt, and another guy.
Eric LaSalle, I think.
Maybe.
Because they show him vomiting in a minute.
And so those guys start like going into seizure as soon as they get word that there's movement in the tree line.
Yes.
And you kind of see at this point that the movement in the tree line is American troops.
Oh, I did not see that.
Yeah,
I
there's like
I
a shot
tell.
Of like American troops opening fire on them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I thought that was their compatriots. Other people in their squadron.
Yeah.
I mean, the last time I saw this movie was like 15 years ago. So,
and maybe that's more explicit in later flashbacks.
I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, and we see Tim Robbins get stabbed in the stomach with a bayonet.
Yeah.
As he's like run away from the fighting. When he's trying to like help Ving Rhames, who's puking up blood on himself.
Yeah. Just convulsing violently. Yeah.
And then he wakes up on a subway train.
Reading a paperback copy of The Stranger.
Which is my favorite cover of The Stranger.
Oh.
Yeah, I really love that cover. Like,
okay.
I've like tried to find t-shirts of that cover of The Stranger, which is just like a deep dive on me being a nerd.
Have you ever found one?
I have not.
Let's just copyright it. And I'm sure it's not copywritten anymore. We can just we'll just put it up on the Tee Public store.
Yeah, put it up on the Tee Public.
Buy one.
Take it down.
That's what I did when I got Rob a shirt.
Oh, smart.
That Lucy had drawn a picture and I got it on a shirt. And then I was like worried that someone else was going to buy it because I had to leave it up there for the time it took to print it.
But I was like, oh, interesting. He's reading The Stranger. Well, that's a book about existential.
Sure is. Also, falling asleep on public transit is some male privilege. I'll tell you what.
I can never do that.
No, and this old lady in the babushka can't fall asleep. She has to guard herself.
Well, she's also a demon.
I mean, I'm not sold on that, but go on.
Well, she's not real. She's in his imagination.
None of it is real.
Yeah, it's all
inside
his head.
None of them are demons. Yeah.
Some of them are demons.
No, none of it is real.
Well, they're demons while you're trying to hold on life. Maybe they're angels who are trying to get you to let go.
But some people in the movie are really nice to him. Are they demons too?
No, they're angels.
I don't like that. I gotta say that demons and angels are not a thing I like at all. This movie's overtly religious.
Sure, for sure. But, you know.
Which is interesting because he's not. I mean, it's all Judeo-Christian themes.
Right.
But, and there's like scenes where he is set up like Christ, like the bathtub scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just. They make a big point later, like, oh, he was Jewish, just like Jesus.
Did they say that?
Well, they say he was Jewish.
Do you know the guy who wrote this movie also wrote Ghost?
I love Ghost.
Yeah, I haven't seen Ghost in a
Me
minute.
Either. I haven't seen it since I was a child, but I remember sobbing at the end.
Sure.
Like, yeah, they just be together in this life. Their love was so pure.
Which is also a 1990 film.
Yeah. Wow, great year for that guy.
Yeah. What's it? Hold on, let me get that fella's name. I think I'm right on this. Yes, he wrote Jacob's Ladder, Ghost, and he also wrote, like, there was something else in his... Oh, he wrote Deadly Friend.
What's that?
Which is a Wes Craven movie starring... Buffy the Vampire Slayer actor who went nut bar, Christy Swanson.
She went nut bar.
Yeah, she's like a right wing.
No,
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that's a bummer.
And Mama Fratelli.
I love Mamma Fratelli.
Where Christy Swanson dies and is reanimated as a robot.
That sounds very fun.
Who goes on a murder spree.
Isn't that also lately the plot of Mannequin?
Sort of. I don't think there's a murder spree.
No, I guess not.
And at one point, spoiler alert, she explodes Mamma Fratelli's head with a basketball.
Oh, I want to watch that.
Yeah, we should do that movie at some point.
Okay.
But I was like, holy shit, the guy who wrote Ghost and Jacob's Ladder also wrote fucking Deadly Friend. That's awesome.
Can I read you something from her personal life Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Swanson is a Republican.
Yeah.
Swanson alleged that she and fellow actor Dean Cain received death threats for taking part in Obamagate, a stage play that focused on Donald Trump, although her statements were unproven. In 2021, Swanson was hospitalized with COVID-19 with severe respiratory complications.
I hope she's okay.
Yeah, you hate to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like when those people are like, we're not getting acting jobs because of her politics. And it's like, or...
you're an asshole.
Counterpoint, you're not that good of an actor either.
I don't know.
Dean Cain, who's missing out on that?
Oh, Dean Cain, Superman and all that. Yeah, it's true.
Anyway, I bet y'all didn't think we were going to have Dean Cain talk on this episode.
Dean Cain. What do you think of a two monosyllabic name? I kind of like it.
Sure.
Dean Cain.
Yeah, I've often thought mine's too much. I'd like to knock it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. No, 2-2. Two, two. I like a 2-2. Two, two.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mine's a 2-3.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Used to be a 2-2. Two, two.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I don't like anything.
So he also, I just noticed my note. This is my favorite cover of The Stranger. Nerd.
He goes to get off the train and there's like a tentacle or a snake and
it's a tail.
It's a tail.
Hanging off the man who's laying on the bench.
I thought it was like a grabby tentacle or just a snake that it was holding. But either way, it felt funny to me.
Yeah. I think he's a demon. That's why you can't see his face.
You see a lot of demons' faces in this movie by your standards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think about it, won't you?
I will.
And then he has a legitimate nightmare of being locked in the fucking subway system.
Yes, and having to cross the tracks to get out.
Yeah.
And of course, there's an oncoming train with this weird face in the back window.
Yeah.
Thanks, I hate it.
This movie is so haunting for that stuff.
So haunting.
And it's also the first time I ever saw in a live action thing that like real fast Trent Reznor video, like, yes, head flicky thing.
Where they shot it really slow, right?
Right, and then
just
then
sped it up.
Mm. And they, like, I doubt that, I'm going to go on a limb and say this will mean nothing to you, but he got that technique from the brothers Quay, who do stop motion animation. They were the people who inspired all those Tool videos.
Oh.
That were the stop motion animation, if you remember those.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Not to bring Tool up again.
No, thank you for bringing it up.
But they have like this very like, and they did like interstitial stuff for MTV too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what
you're
talking about.
With like doll parts and all that.
Exactly,
but they would do the thing
about
where like, something would move frantically like that. And like, I was like, oh shit. Like, yeah, this is just worlds colliding for me at this point.
Yeah.
Which I liked. I liked.
Speaking of worlds colliding, I remember when we did the Silent Hill episode, I remember reading that a lot of its imagery from the game for the game and then the subsequent movie was taken from this film.
Oh, that makes sense.
Which makes such perfect sense, particularly in like the hospital scene and the head shaky stuff, all that. Yeah.
That hospital scene is so fucking upsetting.
So upsetting.
Oh my God.
Is this where X-ray is? This is not where X-ray is.
Anyway. So he makes it home after diving on the ground to avoid the train, which is a nightmare.
Yes.
But we also, like, there's a lot of stuff where we just don't, this is, I was thinking about this, this is like our second movie in a row of kind of dream logic of like, he's just jumping around from place to place.
Yes.
Obviously this feel like, when you get the revelation of why, there's a little bit more resolution to that.
Well, someone was very, very thoughtful in making this movie, which is so much more than I can say for 3 years earlier, Dario Argento.
How dare you?
How dare you?
I'm sorry. I mean, how dare you?
How dare you? There's a flashback to Vietnam at this point where there's a koki croaking, and I thought there are no kokis in Vietnam.
What's a koki?
It's a frog that goes, koki, koki, and it sounds like a bird call.
All right.
They're like native to Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And I think they're in a couple other places in the Caribbean, but they're certainly not in Vietnam.
I believe all the Vietnam shots were shot in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Koki?
Yeah, yeah.
Koki? I've never heard it anywhere else, yeah. I mean, I'm such a world traveler.
So he gets home. We see the Twin Towers at one point in the background shot.
Does it always feel like you shouldn't be allowed to look directly at them? I don't know why I think that.
Yeah. Oh, man, you were so young when that happened.
I was a college freshman.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I like, they also, it was a time without like email or text messaging really. So we just all went to class and I was sitting on the 34th floor of the Cathedral of Learning.
Oh no.
Listening to coverage on the radio. Everyone was just silently sitting there listening to it when the plane went down in Somerset. And they were like, we think it was heading to Pittsburgh. And the professor was like, everybody out now.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It was very scary.
Wow.
That was my personal 9/11 story.
I'd been living in Philly for a month.
Oh.
And I live not far from all the skyscrapers downtown. So like going outside, I was just like, after watching like 30 straight hours of that footage over and over.
I know.
But my favorite thing about that is my dumb roommate woke me up and said, I don't know if you care, but somebody's flying planes into the Twin Towers.
Oh, fair assessment.
Like, why would I not care?
Why would I not care?
And then I cried in front of a television for 30 hours.
Yeah, I did.
And tried to reach friends in New York City, which was impossible.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's where we were on 9/11.
So he gets home to where he has a sweet little dog waiting for him.
And
he tells the dog to go to sleep, which I appreciated.
Got to put a dog to bed, apparently. You know, on our Discord, there was some conversation about putting dogs to bed after the Knock Knock episode where I didn't know whether that you had to put dogs to bed. And people were like, I can't believe Katie asked that. But I still don't know whether you have to put dogs to bed, because the way people were talking, some of them said seemed like you do and some of them seemed like you don't. I just don't think you always have to put a dog to bed.
You don't. But like, we put our dogs to bed. We train them to go to bed when we go to bed.
In your bed?
No, they're allowed in our bed until we shut off our lights and we're done reading, and then they have to go in their own beds.
Really?
Yeah. 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 So and they like, as soon as you click that light off, they both jump into their own beds.
Little shits, huh?
They'll usually jump back in at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, well, they had a bad dream.
And also when he gets home, we find his horny partner.
Jezebel.
Is that a biblical reference, you think?
She says, I hate biblical names. And I thought, how fucking dare you? It's pretty fucking biblical. His kids' names are Jed and Eli. 3 letters apiece. She cannot remember them.
Oh my God.
She's a monster.
I do love how like she vacillates from being like this hyper caring partner to a fucking monster.
Yeah.
Who's like the most insensitive human being ever. Like, I'm not going to bother remembering your kids' names.
I'm going to burn this picture of your dead son because it makes you sad. Who's his dead son?
Oh, an uncredited Macaulay Culkin.
Why is he uncredited in this?
I don't know.
I mean, he was certainly working at this time a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it was like, you know, this one's for me. I don't need credit on this
one. That's weird. He dies in so many movies of this era. And we should really do The Good Son at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think bees go to watch his movies and they're like,
Oh, what a fucking crying shame, though. Put on his glasses. He can't see without his glasses. Oh, that made me cry like a baby.
Oh, man. And that's like Dan Aykroyd is so good in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Jamie Lee Curtis is in it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Shit.
That other guy, Richard Mazur, who's in like every movie from like 1990 to 1995 as someone's dad.
Yeah, he's in It, right? He's the library guy in It.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he's Stan. He's the guy who kills himself. Spoilers for that. And they find his head in the fridge. You're thinking of Mike, the librarian.
Sorry, you're right. You're right.
You are sorry.
I am sorry. I can only apologize.
He's also the dad in Encino Man.
That's a movie?
It's a film. It won Best Picture in 1990.
And every year since. Yeah, she says, I don't like pictures that make you sad, and then burns his pictures.
Throws them into an incinerator.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah. She looks at the picture of his wife, who he's estranged or separated from, and she goes, Sarah, she looks like a real bitch. Which, to be fair, she does a little bit. A little. Un pequeño.
Maybe that's why I found her attractive.
You like that bitchy looking lady?
Yeah. It doesn't.
Okay.
Real Tom Hardy type. Is this when he goes to his chiropractor? Or no, he goes to work.
No, he goes to his chiropractor.
He goes to work.
We find out that they work together, he and Jezebel.
Yes.
And then he goes to see his chiropractor.
Who is?
A quack?
Madonna's dad.
Madonna's
Danny
dad.
Aiello from the Papa Don't Preach video.
I just hate chiropractors so much.
Because it's fake science?
Because it's fake medicine, which is worse somehow. Yeah.
I mean, I have had my neck cracked by a chiropractor and it's felt great afterwards.
Uh-huh.
I think there's something to that.
No, it's so imprecise.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Don't just push on me really hard until something makes a sound. That's assault. I do like the thing about how philosophers are great thinkers but don't know their right from their left, and it reminded me of a philosophy major that I dated who was a pizza guy, and I always just thought, like, well, I bet he thinks a lot while he's driving around delivering pizzas.
I mean, what do you do with that degree?
You have to teach philosophy.
Right, that's it, right? Yeah. And write some books that, like, I mean, I'll probably read them, but still. Like.
To bring this full circle, he became a 9/11 truther.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Made a documentary about it.
He did?
He did.
Oh, no.
And it's really bad because I watched a clip of it, and you can hear his accent. He has a very thick, particular region of Pittsburgh accent.
Really?
And you could just hear him being like, well, what do you think happened? I don't know. It's just, I can't even.
Oh, no.
I feel like I just said enough that people figured out who I'm talking about if they live local. Locally, because Pittsburgh.
Hopefully they are not a truther any longer.
I don't know. Do people give up on that idea?
No, I mean, people, you have to kind of be like reformed back out of it. Like,
okay.
But it's a lie. It's a false conspiracy theory, everybody. So.
Yeah, no.
And don't at me with what happened to Tower Number 7. I don't give a shit.
And I don't know what that means. And don't at me with jet fuel doesn't burn that hot. Because how do you know?
Also, it doesn't have to burn that hot to make the tower structurally unstable.
No, so flying a plane into it.
Yeah, from exploding
the plane that at a very high rate of. Forget it. Why are we talking about so much 9/11 tonight? I need it to stop.
That's what happens when you see the towers in a movie.
It's true. You just get all weird. You feel twitchy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a phenomenal trauma that happened to all of us.
It's true. It's for my generation too. Like. I don't mean to say my generation, your generation, like we're a full generation apart. We are not. But for people like me, we started our adulthood. I was 17 years old in college. We started our adulthood with a plane flying into a tower, and it's literally just gotten worse every day since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, no wonder we're so fucking anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we've never dealt with all that trauma. So yeah, here we are in 2023.
He cracks his neck really, really hard. And I thought, that's how people die in other horror movies. Yeah. Maybe don't do that to him.
And he says, Louis, you're an angel.
But he has a flashback when his neck cracks.
Yeah.
Which is like that urban legend about LSD living in your spine, right?
Sure.
That's a legend, right? That's not real. There's no LSD in here.
I don't know. I mean, it can like severely affect people. Like,
sure, but it doesn't get stored up. And if you crack your neck, you start tripping.
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think it's just like a glow stick.
People said that. People told me that. Reputable sources told me that. And that's why I've never been to a chiropractor.
I do not know. And I was also a person who was telling people that that bumblebees don't sting. So like, I am not a reliable
everybody
source.
Thought that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love when he's walking home and like there's just the girls on the street singing to
him,
singing
Mr.
Postman.
Him?
Yeah.
I love that these, first of all, like men really get catcalled like this, but I love that there's just a dude with those ladies who's just lightly bobbing along to the song. He's like, this is a banger. I love that.
Yeah.
That guy, what does he do? What is his day? He hangs out with these girls while they yell at the postman.
And he's also like, no, you, this happens all the time.
Yeah, this is our everyday Tuesday.
He does have a great like shag haircut in these scenes.
See, I find him to be very cute, but his hair is just insane. He looks insane.
I liked his hair.
Okay. So there's a car in the alley and a man tells him to run.
Yeah.
And the car starts swerving to hit him.
Yeah.
And when it goes by him, he sees all these weird heads in the car, like weird faces and
wibbly wobbly people.
Wibbly wobbly people.
Yeah. He's chased by a car with a monster in it.
Yeah.
That's a note that I have. Yeah.
So he goes to see Dr. Carlson, who was apparently a mental health professional that he was seeing through the veterans, through the VA, I guess.
Yeah. What happens when he goes there?
The nurse at the desk yells at him a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Just says, Dr. Carlson, is he new? And he's like, no, he's been here for years. And she like goes through the files, can't find his file.
Yeah. What's your name?
Bitches about not having gotten a lunch break. Like, lady, who takes a lunch break? It's fucking capitalism. And at one point she leans over and her little nurse hat falls off her head.
And what's on top of her head?
Hair.
And a horn.
A horn.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. Yeah, maybe she is a demon.
Yeah, she a demon.
So we go, he runs back into and busts up a support group.
Yeah.
Where the leader of the group tells him that Dr. Carlson died in a car accident.
A month ago.
Why would that lady at the front not know?
They don't know.
Dream logic. But then again, what is real?
And then suddenly he's back in bed with Elizabeth Peña.
But they also, the guy tells him that his car just blew up, which is interesting later.
Right, right.
Yeah, Jesse's really not taking his mental health concerns seriously.
No.
Kids on a joyride. It happens all the time. Does it? New York, 1970 question mark?
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be like 75 because, yeah, they were in the Mekong Delta in 71.
Okay. And there's a Nixon for president sticker somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trigger dick. And yeah, so then she's like, well, we have to go to a dance party. Let's go to this dance party.
This party seems like a nightmare. Yeah.
He can't even go to the steps to hang out by himself.
No, because Esapatha Merkerson is there. This is full of TV actors I just love. Like what Eric Lasalle. Esapatha Merkerson.
That's an amazing name.
Yeah, you should know her. She was the bail lady on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh, okay.
And then she was for a long time the lieutenant on Law and Order. And I just love her.
Yeah,
I
love never her. Watched a Law and Order. Oh, bum, this, bum.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum, bum. I mean, who can make a clarinet sound so cool?
just Dick Wolf, I assume, right?
Yeah, he does all the parts. This is one of her first roles after Pee-wee's Playhouse, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's like the dance party and then, yes, I'm sorry, her name again?
Esapatha Merkerson.
So good. And she's on the stairs and she's like, oh, let me read your palm, you sexy motherfucker, you hot ass motherfucker. Let me read that palm.
She's a lovely flirt.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love light flirting.
Yeah.
It's so fun to like be a part of or like just watch happening somewhere.
Yeah.
Like no stakes. No one's going to do anything with this. Just a little light like.
If I could wink, I'd wink.
That really cuts in on your light flirting.
It does, because I just kind of look like this when I try.
You look like a broken doll.
I don't know why I can't do it. I can do it. I just can't do it fast. It goes down, and then it takes a while to come back up.
It's just a hand crank her eyelid back up, everyone.
But she tells him that his lifeline is very interesting because it says he's already dead.
What?
He's like, heh. Mm-hmm. So he goes back down to the dance party.
Yeah.
And there's a strobe light effect happening,
uh-huh.
which is seemingly triggering some hallucinations for him.
Sure.
What does he see, Alan?
He sees his girlfriend getting fucked by a demon on the dance floor.
Yeah. It looks like she's being penetrated by a dragon's tail, yeah. perhaps.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that's what spawned all of those internet drawings of dragons fucking cars.
Really? Love that for them. That's a great etymology. And these are all like practical effects. This is Elizabeth Peña writhing away all sweaty on a like probably foam dragon's tail.
I think I like in my mind, having seen this movie in like 90 or 91, you know, being a 16-year-old kid, like, oh, this is a sexy scene. I'm watching the sexy, and then going back, I'm like, no!
Oh, boy. Teen boys, they'll jerk it to anything. We get back to their apartment, and she's shouting at him that she's mortified because he falls on the ground and, like, passes out, maybe? Or
Yeah, she's, like, so aggressively mad at him for having a traumatic incident at a party.
This lady sucks. Just, like, live alone.
And the horn comes out of her mouth as well.
Yes, it does.
She's being ground to pound by the dragon man.
It sure does. She yells at him, if you go crazy, Jake, you're going crazy by yourself.
Yeah.
Great partner.
And then she realizes that he's burning up with a fever and has to put him in the bathtub.
Listen, everybody, I know I give bad advice on this show a lot. This is good advice. Never put someone with a high fever into a cold bath.
Oh,
never.
Really?
No, it will not help.
Okay, I thought that's what they did.
No, well, not anymore. I mean, maybe medical science knows better now, but your skin gets cool, so your body tries to increase its core temperature to heat your skin.
Oh, I see.
And then
you'll
start shivering, which uses more energy, which can also increase your core temperature. It can kill a person.
Oh, wow.
If they have a high fever, do not put them in an ice bath.
Okay.
I'm not a doctor, but this is medical advice. Also, the real nightmare here is all the neighbors seeing his dong.
Yeah. I feel like when you're that sick, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're not going to remember that they saw your dick.
I don't know.
As a man who is preparing for his first colonoscopy, I just have to imagine that, like, everything's fine. You no one cares.
They're not going to put it in your penis.
No, but it'll be there.
You're not going to leave it home?
When I got my vasectomy and they were like, do you want to be knocked out? I was like, 100% yes.
Really?
I do.
They give you a choice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
they
yeah.
didn't knock yeah. Rob out.
Yeah. That's when I had the uncomfortable thing where the doctor was checking me. Like, they have to, like, rub your balls to find everything. And I was like, I don't know what to do with my hands. So I just Supermaned.
I mean, what else is there to
what
do?
What are you going to put him what on his head?
Like, no, no. Just rub his shoulders while he's working.
Doing a great job.
You're doing, you work so hard.
Do you need me to find yours? This is a tit for tat. So yes, there's this very intense bath scene that was like almost reminiscent of like Rosemary's Baby when she's like being raped by the devil.
Yeah.
And everyone's like coming in and watching her and all that
yes.
stuff.
Yes. This felt very much like the Caravaggio Entombing of Christ,
oh,
which
yeah.
they're all sort of arranged that way. It's very wow. interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
Love a Caravaggio reference.
Yeah.
Isn't that Caravaggio did the Medusa?
Yes.
The famous Medusa?
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. yes, Medusa. Yes.
I've often thought about getting a tattoo of that Medusa.
You won't.
I know. Probably.
You won't. When's the last time you got a tattoo? It's been forever.
Oh, it's probably been like 5 or 6 years. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the last one you got?
I think the pumpkin on my forearm.
Yeah. That's been more than 5 or 6 years.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need it. It's time for you.
Probably.
Who gets you that Medusa?
I got so many tattoos lined up that I need to do.
You said that when we hit 100, a mere 100 patrons, that you would get the World Famulans logo
oh,
tattoo.
That's true.
And you
I
never did it. And
now.
Like, I, as a person who likes to keep her word,
I've been debating on where to get it because I thought
cheek.
About getting it right here.
Oh, no, that's going to hurt like a bitch.
Nah, that'll be fine.
No,
or I thought
that
about getting
really
it like
hurts.
Right below my throat.
Don't get it right below your throat. Please don't fucking do that. You wear a lot of tank tops.
Yeah, but not like business situations. It would just feel like a little werewolf peeking out over my tank top.
I think you might regret that one.
I do need to get a tattoo. It's been a while.
You need
I've thought about
one.
Contacting your tattoo person that you contact through the Werewolf Ambulance Instagram.
I don't have my own Instagram. Yeah. That's how he takes booking.
So there's the intense and bath scene, and we get him waking up in bed with his former wife.
Yes.
Which is his current wife in this flashbacky thing.
Yes. He says, I was having a nightmare. I was living with Jezebel from the post office.
Yeah. You yeah. remember her from the post office.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, I like this way of laying out that this is his brain putting all this shit together.
Which is interesting because, like, at this, you can tell it's all not true because we're told that Gabe passed away before he went to Vietnam. Gabe is Macaulay Culkin.
Right.
And that he got the post office job after Vietnam. And Gabe is alive in this. So you're just like, what is your brain doing?
Right.
But what Gabe is really trying to do here is see his parents fuck.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gross.
We've all done it. Oh, yeah. It scarred me for a long time.
Did you try to see it?
No. It
well, that's what I'm talking about here. And when you said we've all done it, I thought, sir, I have not. He wants to be put back to bed by his dad. And his dad's like, hurry, kid. Dad's got a boner.
Yeah. Luckily doesn't say that to the child.
No, you can't say that.
And then he like puts the child to bed, says goodnight to his other two sons.
Yeah.
And then wakes up in the tub crying.
Yeah.
And like shook.
Shook.
Yeah.
He'd been in there for 8 hours.
Yeah.
Through 50-pound bags, through 50 pounds of ice.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the medical advice back then. I don't know. It is not now. She says, you didn't die, and you were talking to your kids, even the dead one.
Even the dead one?
Even the dead one.
You rude motherfucker.
She's so awful.
Even that dead kid, who I think is a piece of shit.
I mean, he wasn't even cute.
He didn't even live.
I like kids who live. The next time we see him, he's reading a witch's Bible.
Yeah.
You know, I've always shied away from witchcraft because it seems as much of a religion as anything else, but maybe I should get into witchcraft.
Oh, please don't.
No? What if I just like, what if I'm a witch? I mean, probably not.
Do what you want. I'll probably follow you on Instagram.
You don't have an Instagram.
Oh, that's right. It still exists. I just don't go to it anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What if I'm a witch?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like, try it out.
Ethnically, it doesn't make sense for me to be a witch.
Why?
I don't know. Are there Italian witches?
Yes. Where do you think the evil eye came from?
We're not taught about them. We're only taught about the good women like Mary, Jesus's mother. And also a virgin. I mean, it's fucking witchcraft who got her pregnant, yeah?
That's just her lie to her husband.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, God nutted.
Yeah,
sorry.
Well, the angel does appear to him, too, in canon. So to tell him, like, God nutted in your lady friend here. The one you've never fucked, I guess, despite being married? Aren't you allowed to fuck when you're married? Whatever.
I guess so.
Anyway, reading books about evil is cool, is what I'm saying.
Doesn't he ask Elizabeth Pena if he's dead at this point, too?
Yeah.
He's like, am I dead?
She's like, nah. She shouts at him to go outside, go enjoy yourself. One of us should be having a good time.
Yeah. And she gets demonized when she says that to him.
She does. She says, 2 weeks of this shit. And I thought, my God, I once had to drive Rob everywhere for like 14 weeks because he had right ankle surgery.
Oh, so he pushes her in a sweet, sweet domestic abuse situation.
Yeah.
And then
she's got demon eyes. If your spouse has demon eyes, are you allowed to push them? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah,
don't
come
push
on.
Them.
No.
But what if they're a demon?
You married them. Yeah. Or got into a relationship with them at the very least.
Yeah.
They probably would have told you that at the beginning. Oh, by the way, I'm a demon.
I mean, I would wait till I had a ring on it, certainly.
I did a 23andMe and found out that I'm a demon.
Ah, 23% Nordic. 15% German. The rest is demon?
But I'm like one of them semen demons that Anthony Kiedis sings
about. We need to
stop
talking about that.
Can't stop thinking about it. He wrote those lyrics, put them in a song, and the rest of the band said, okay.
And they made $1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000
for an vacation among Bloomadoobu.
No, under the bridge.
Sick guitar riff.
Oh, that video where he's like running and his pecs are like bouncing up and down. I was like, I'm straight.
I feel the same way when I see Tom Hardy.
I laughed so hard I hit my head on the wall. Oh boy.
So he gets a call that Paul Gruninger needs to see him. So they meet at the common place that everybody goes to all the time.
Which is?
A pool hall that's inside of a boxing gym.
A pool hall inside of a boxing gym where you can just walk in and have some drinks and meet your friend.
Why not?
Paul says, I'm going to hell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, when he first wakes up on the subway, he sees two signs that are Welcome to the Big Apple and then a big sign that just says hell next to it. And I was like, oh, movie, just laying it out right there. So, yeah, Paul says he's going to hell.
He shows Tim Robbins all the things that where he was trying to use to help him, which is like a pocket Bible and a rosary. And you're like, no shit, that didn't help, huh?
And then he starts like freaking out and yelling. And Tim Robbins says something that I wish I could do in public places, which is looks at everyone and goes, mind your business.
Why can't you do that? You are the only person I know who can do that without risking getting the shit kicked out of them.
Maybe I'll do it more often.
Listen, you and I need to like fake a fight in Kelly's sometime so that when people look, you can just look at them and say,
mind your business.
Perfect. And then we'll share a bowl of macaroni and cheese.
So good.
But he's saying, what happened that night? Why won't they tell us what happened?
Yeah.
When they go outside, they're being followed by a man, a very distinctive man.
The man who I label as some nerd.
Some nerd. He's like, I've been trailing you for days, but it's like, you look very, very distinctive.
Well, he's the guy who tells him to look out when the car almost runs him down on the
road. Oh, that's right. You're right.
Yeah.
And he pulls him away from Paul's car because Paul's car blew up.
Yeah.
Just like old Dr. Carlson.
Which he takes in stride like a motherfucker.
I think that would be more upset. I mean, he goes to the man's funeral.
Yeah.
I thought, well, at least old Paul went fast, you know?
Old wiggly eyes, Paul.
Yeah, that actor has some sort of syndrome that causes involuntary eye movements.
He's in a movie called Devil's Candy with fan favorite and our favorite, Ethan Embry.
I love Ethan Embry. He's so weird in that movie.
Yeah, you've seen that movie?
I've seen parts of it. Okay. I've seen of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the funeral, he meets up with his old Vietnam buddies.
Where I wrote, Eric LaSalle, you fucking stud.
See, I was going hard on Young Ving Rhames in this.
Oh, Eric LaSalle, baby.
And I was like, oh, this is just like a year or two before People Under the Stairs.
That's right. I forgot he was in that movie.
He's already rocking the koofy.
He does look great.
Yeah.
He does look great. Yeah. Ving Rhames still with us?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he's still making those Mission Impossible movies, I think.
Oh, I forgot. Someone, was it you that told me there's 17 of them or something?
The seventh one is about to come out.
You like how I turned that to 17?
Missy and I, she decided this year that she was going to watch them all. So we just watched the sixth one the other day.
Because you're not watching them in order, right?
What's that?
You're not watching them in order?
We are. She had never seen any of them.
I've never seen them either, yeah.
No, we did the first one.
We definitely did not do Mission Impossible.
We definitely did a Mission Impossible.
We definitely didn't. What are you talking about?
Go to your notes. We definitely did a Mission Impossible.
I'm looking right now. You're lucky I never delete anything. Mission. No. Nothing. Oh, fuck. July 22nd, 2021. I have no memory of this.
They had the faces they could put on.
No, nothing. Was it for this show?
It was for the Patreon.
I'm reading my notes. I just have notes like, I wish it was Valeria Golino. What did I mean by that? And when is Ving Rhames gonna get here? There you go, Alan.
Katie.
Nothing. I remember nothing.
I love it when you are adamant about never having done a thing that I know 100% we've done. Because there's a lot of times where you and I are like, we did that movie? I don't know, we did that movie. But I love when you're like, Hellraiser? We never fucking did Hellraiser, you goddamn idiot.
That makes me worried that I'm just forgetting so much of my life.
No, like, you're just erasing things.
I'm just walking around with 30% at all times.
I think that movie was one, because it's not that great.
I genuinely don't remember what it was about.
And two is even worse, but like 3, 4, 5, pretty good.
Okay.
6, not so great.
And 7 comes out this year.
Yeah. Okay, and gotcha. Then I think 8th is the final one, maybe. Yeah.
Fuck off with that.
I think he's like, in the 7th one, he jumps a motorcycle off of a mountain.
That's very like, Fast and the Furious to me.
But he does it.
Oh, he really does it?
Yeah, like in the 4th one, he climbs the largest building in the world.
Which is, I think I've seen that picture of him sitting atop it. Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'll do that. And they'll just erase all the ropes that are holding me in place, but I'll go out on that. Like, and he also hangs off the side of a fucking airplane.
I mean, let that man court death. It matters not to me.
Yeah,
I won't feel a moment of sadness.
There were some headlines recently that he was leaving or like distancing himself from Scientology.
Well, that would be good. I would respect him more.
Yeah.
He and his wife have a silent birth. Go fuck yourself.
What is this? That dumb movie about the aliens that don't like noises? Don't like the noisy neighbors?
Oh my God, yes. Okay, I want you to know that right now I'm reading the plot of Mission Impossible. And I am certain I've never seen it.
100%
I mean, I believe you. I wrote a lot of notes. How strange.
So he goes.
Very strange.
Goes to the funeral. They start sharing notes about what they're like, what they're experiencing. There's one guy that's like, I've not experienced any of this. You all are dum-dums.
Yeah. What do you think that was about?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah. I assume that's a guy that in his mind he didn't like. So he was just like, I will write him out of my mind movie.
Or make him just be like a dick because I would expect him to be a dick.
Yeah. And so they're like, all right, let's go see a guy at the VA or a lawyer. They go to see a lawyer. I'm sorry.
They go to see
Jason Alexander,
whom I love.
Yeah.
And who seems like a really good guy in real life.
Yeah.
And,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
that's good.
I think he's a good dude.
Because that's not what the Seinfeld cast is known for.
Well, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is lovely. I think he's a good guy.
The other two, not so great.
Had some bad choices and bad things. Bad thoughts.
Bad takes.
But it's very hard for me to buy Jason Alexander as a competent professional because George Costanza is just like the worst. I know you're not a Seinfeld fan.
No, but I know of him.
Yeah.
He does not give that vibe.
No. No.
It's like when he's in The Burning, the camp like horror movie that he's in.
Did we do that?
With Fisher Stevens. We've never done it.
No. Okay. No, we've definitely never done a Fisher Stevens.
Yeah. But like buying him as a camp worker is very hard. No. He does not give that vibe.
I feel sorry for him to be so pigeonholed as George.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. But yeah. He's really good at playing TV's Larry David before Larry David did.
Yeah.
So they go to meet him and he's like, yeah, he sounds like you might have a case after like kind of putting them off for a little while.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, great.
But he also opens his desk drawer and pulls out an open, unclipped bag of Fritos and just starts snacking on them.
He does offer them too.
He does offer them. But like, no chip clip? Like, this is a desk. You don't have a paper clip there? I get so angry about lack of chip clips. We have a very strong rule about chip clips in my house.
Yeah, if you've got binder clips, you got chip clips.
Anything that's not chip clipped gets thrown right in the trash.
Oh, wow.
That's my, I'm sorry, I'm hard and fast about it. You want fucking mice? I don't want fucking mice.
I'm a tight roller.
No, that's not. No.
I do a
tight
roll.
Put a clip on it. Put a clip on it. Put a.
If I can't do a tight roll, I put a rubber band around it.
Then you're just mashing your chips.
It still tastes fine.
I am indignant.
That's fine. Luckily, we do not live together.
Seriously, this is why you and I can never work. Eventually, George calls them and says that. Calls him and says he's not taking the case.
Yeah.
And when he goes to confront him, he says, you were never in Vietnam. You got freaked out about some war games in Thailand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, I've never been to Thailand.
Yeah. And then he just gets kidnapped, which is very X-Files.
Yeah. 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 And he's reading Camus again at some point.
Yes. And a woman is walking along with a stroller, watching him get kidnapped. And I was like, I hope she calls the police.
Yeah. Mind your business, lady. Mind your business.
These guys in the car are like character actors, you know, from everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They keep telling him to keep his mouth shut.
Uh-huh. And they're like mob heavies.
They're mob heavies, yes. Yeah. Every movie that depicts Italian Americans has that one guy in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Real Luca Brasi type.
Is he Luca Brasi?
No.
He looks like Luca Brasi. Yeah. For a moment I thought, oh, this is really 1975. It is not. He would be way too old.
Yeah, there's no way that man made it out of the 70s.
I know. It is not. It is 1990.
They let him go, right? He gets out of the car. He falls.
He's hurt in the street.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he gets robbed by Santa. And I thought, ooh, maybe we should start running that scam, you and me.
And then when he goes to the cops, he's like, yeah, I got robbed by Santa.
To the doctors. He's saying this to the doctors in the hospital.
Oh, is it a doctor?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they think he's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, they say no ID, and he said, someone stole my wallet. And they say, who? And he says, Santa Claus.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, I'm sorry. I was back in my notes where he had called Eric LaSalle, and Eric LaSalle hung up on him.
Yeah.
And was like, why?
And all the other guys were in his room.
Yeah, they were just watching.
Yeah.
Because they're not really there.
It's interesting that we see these things that happen outside of Tim Robbins, though. Like, it seems like we shouldn't have seen that. Eric LaSalle being hanging out with all the other guys without him.
But I think it was his brain telling him that everyone's turning against him.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, Santa steals his wallet.
And he says he wants it back because it has the only photo of his dead son in it. Because your bitchy girlfriend burned the rest. But so he's being pushed around this hospital. They say, let's get him down to X-ray.
Yeah, and that's when we see the doctor pull his mask down. He's got the clown face. No, sorry, that was Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
But it's very similar in a terrible way.
They keep wheeling him, and he goes on basically a descent into hell.
Yeah.
Where there's just limbs and blood all over the floor.
He sees a broken bicycle, which is how we know that his son has passed.
Yes. And then he's taken into an operating room, and Elizabeth Pena is one of the doctors or nurses there.
Yeah. And he says he wants to go home, and someone says, this is your home. You're dead.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm alive. And they say, then what are you doing here? I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the nurse is blind. Fucking Silent Hill. Remember those blind titty nurses? This is, I think, a male nurse, but still.
Just sweet rack on that male nurse.
Just tits to the wind.
Man, and it sticks a needle in his fucking head.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
And then Sarah and the kids show up in the hospital to see him.
And one of the kids says, just hang in there, Dad. And she's like, stop it. That's not funny. And I was like, I'm not sure I'm getting the joke. Is it because his leg was in traction?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then Louis comes in to rescue him.
See, at this point, I was like, Louis's a bad guy.
No, he's his guardian angel.
He's his literally. Guardian angel. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then he takes him back to chiropractor him, is a note that I said.
Yeah, he screams about how, like, being in traction is barbaric. And I thought, is it? I, like, have fantasies about being in traction.
Just because you want some time to yourself. You want
some time where no one can ask me for anything. I mean, he's all over the place. He's threatening these orderlies. He's stealing a man from the hospital. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't have a chiropractor, but if I did, I don't think I'd allow them to check me out of the hospital.
I also want to be a person who could just run into a room and be like, hey, I'm taking him. And everyone go, well, okay.
Alan,
all right.
You can be.
I just need to believe in myself.
You need to believe. You can be anything you want to be. Truly. Also, was he in his hospital bed in jeans? Because he's in the chiropractor's office in jeans.
Oh, real Uncle Frank situation.
Real Uncle Frank situation.
No, I think they got him some jeans.
Okay. Put on his jeans for his chiropractic appointment exactly. Then. Got it.
So the chiropractor tells him about Meister Eckhart.
Yeah.
And to accept his death. And like, you have to accept it to move on to whatever and whatever.
He's saying it in a sort of hypothetical way, but nodding knowingly at him. If I could wink, I'd do it.
Is this where he gives him the, maybe the demon, they're only demons when you're trying to stay. And then they're angels if you're letting go. Which I feel like showed up in a bunch of records around this time. People were sampling this.
I believe that.
Yeah. And then he's back at his apartment looking in a cigar box. There were so many cigar boxes in my childhood. And I was like, yo, yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen one in real life.
My dad had tons of cigar boxes.
Your dad a cigar smoker?
Not really. Huh. I think it's like you would just end up with cigar boxes. Like,
interesting.
Yeah.
They're great shape, great size. I feel like they're good for a lot of things.
They're great for keeping mementos in, which is what he's doing, going through a memento.
I wondered if you get a certificate for a dishonorable discharge.
I think so. I think that has to be documented.
Yeah, I hope you get one. I would put it on my wall.
This is where I failed out of college. I got a certificate. This is my dishonorable discharge.
Don't come back. And we see little Macaulay Culkin on his bike. He's so little to be allowed to cross the road by himself.
Yeah.
Because I assume that Macaulay Culkin really did die before he went to Vietnam.
Yeah.
In which case, poor fucking Sarah, losing a child and then a husband, and her poor other kids, Jed and Eli.
I can't remember their names.
The little wife, one. She looks the like weird a looking real one. Poor Macaulay Culkin. He just dies all throughout the early 90s. They just could not stop killing that kid.
What's he doing now?
I think just hanging out, being a guy.
Okay.
Being like a public figure who doesn't do much.
Last time I saw anything from him on the internet was he was in some band. He had a band.
Yeah. Yes, I forget what it's called.
And they covered a Velvet Underground album, but changed all the songs to be about pizza.
Yes. Yes. It has something to do with pizza.
And I was like, oh man, being rich and high must be awesome.
So much fun, right? I did see a viral meme with him where he posted a picture of himself sitting on his couch with his belly kind of pushed out. And it says, you think you're old? I'm 40. Or you feel old? I'm 40. Yeah. So we find out that he's been gone for 2 days from Jezebel.
Yeah.
And she says, I called every hospital in the city. Yeah. You weren't in them.
Yep.
But then he gets a call from Deep Throat.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Wait, not the Deep Throat.
Not the one from season one of The X-Files.
No.
No. But the other one, who is basically the same character in this movie.
Yeah. And this guy tells him all about the LSD experiments that the military was doing on his army buddies.
Yes. I mean, there was a trend of giving soldiers amphetamines, right? Like, didn't the Nazis just, weren't they up for like 3 days and things like that?
Supposedly, like, Hitler was out of his gourd on amphetamines.
Yeah. Seems fun.
And there was MK Ultra, which did dose Marines.
Yes.
But they were, supposedly, they volunteered for it.
Yeah, that's that. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but that's questionable.
No, but I mean, like, coming from the country that did the Tuskegee experiments, like, I don't believe you got consent on everything.
That's not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great. So we're told that they had tested this mega drug on some monkeys. who right. tore each other limb from limb, and then yes. from some POWs who tore each other limb from limb, and then they're like, let's give it to the soldiers and send them out there. Sirs?
And wasn't, there was an X-Files episode where they had removed the gland, like the part of your brain that made you sleep.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah.
So like they didn't have to sleep anymore.
Yeah.
And it drove them all insane.
Maybe that's where I learned about the amphetamines and soldiers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That great documentary, The X-Files.
I read a book. The X-Files, have you seen it?
So he says, you killed each other. Basically, they all killed each other.
Yeah.
And we start to see him about to be stabbed. And I was like, it better not have fucking been Eric LaSalle.
It wasn't.
It wasn't.
Just some white boy.
Some guy. Yeah. So when he realizes this, he gets in a taxi and goes back to his former home with his wife.
Yeah.
And there's pie and homework on the table.
Mm-hmm. It's very sweet.
You hear a heartbeat, and then very heartbreakingly, there's just a single heartbeat, and then it stops. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
And we're getting... Macaulay Culkin comes to him and is like, it's time to go.
He's sitting on this, he finds him sitting on the stairs and he's like, come upstairs. He's wearing a little Chuck Taylors.
And they go into the light at the top of the stairs.
Yeah. It's so, there's a scene where Macaulay Culkin is hugging Tim Robbins, but it's really, you can tell it's really hard for Macaulay Culkin to get his arm around Tim Robbins.
Look at his head.
This big fucking melon of a dome. And you can see him feeling uncomfortable. Eventually he just puts it on the stairs behind him.
This isn't working.
So it's Jacob's staircase, close enough.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Jacob's
right.
ladder, biblical, yeah. all that.
I always think of Jacob's ladder as like the yarn between your fingers.
Sure, yeah, sure. Yeah. The more common usage.
Yeah. And then we see him on an opera table and they're basically like, time of death, he's gone. We've lost him.
They say that he put up a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
But it seemed to me like he just got blindsided with a bayonet.
But like they were able to medevac him out and try to keep him alive.
He just died then.
Yes.
Not
yeah, a hell of a fight to stay alive.
Not hell of a fight to against fight off the his bayonet attacker. Buddy. Got it.
So that, Katie, is one Jacob's Ladder.
Well, I will tell you that despite it being a very depressing movie, and despite 9/11 being terrible, we did a lot of good jokes this episode, which I was worried about. I was genuinely worried about. I think recording Mad Max first was the right thing to do.
Wait, what happened on 9/11?
You said you'd never forget.
Mm. Knock, knock. Isn't that your joke?
Yep. There was something like that going around on Twitter, and one of our listeners just tagged me in it and wrote, knock, knock. And I was like, fuck, I'm a bad person. Everyone knows it because I can't keep my mouth shut.
Man, the amount of shit that we've put out into the world.
I know. I someday think about my daughter growing up and listening to this and just being like, my mom was a fucking idiot.
She hung out with this real dipshit.
My weird Uncle Alan. What do you want to give this movie? You want to rate this bitch?
Yeah, I definitely want to rate this.
Say it. You're allowed to say it.
All right. Witch. Snitch. I want to give this movie, Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 10.
I'm going to give it a 10 too.
It's fucking fantastic.
It's perfect.
And it's feel like it's like one of those things when you see it now and you go, oh my god, it did this, it did this, it did this, it did this.
Yes, it so seamlessly melds together so many great elements.
Yeah, and so much stuff that's been lifted to other lesser movies.
Just to watch Silent Hill is to watch like a highlight reel of this.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so spooky.
So sad.
You know, spooky and sad at the same time is my fucking wheelhouse.
I know.
I was just thinking about that. The Final Girl board game, which is like the solo board game that have I told you about this?
I've heard of it, yeah.
So they keep releasing more like expansions on it based on different franchises, but they change them slightly to not get into copyright territory.
Sure.
And I was thinking today, I was like, I wonder if they're going to do one for Lake Mungo.
Dude, are you freaking kidding me? I just grabbed my microphone in the stand with both hands so that I could hold it very still while I said, are you fucking kidding me?
How great would that be?
Oh, I love hate that movie.
You're just playing the whole game and at the end you go, oh, fuck.
Fuck, man. I still choose to believe that she was at peace at the end.
Hopefully.
Ghosts aren't real.
Katie.
Alan.
Speaking of things that are real, can I read you a message from Patron?
Yes.
This is from Josh.
Hi, Josh. Not do you believe in angels?
Not do you believe,
Josh, I have a question for you. Yeah. Do you believe in angels?
Josh, get in touch. Do you believe in angels?
Yeah.
If like really yes, don't tell us.
Maybe you just love this movie.
Josh just wanted to say a quick thanks for keeping me laughing through some long work days lately. Been listening from episode one while keeping up on current episodes.
Oh my God.
You guys rock. That's like weird time travel.
That is weird time travel. And I also feel bad when anybody says they've listened to episode one because I feel like it must be rough.
Kids love it. The kids love it.
I met someone recently who was like, oh, you have a show. What's it called? Blah, blah, blah. And I told him and I was like, do not listen to the early episodes. They must be awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Josh.
Josh, you're so sweet.
Josh. Thank you,
Josh. Josh. And hopefully these long days at work end soon.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
Capitalism, man. Make sure you take a lunch break. That nurse at the front desk didn't, and it made her into a demon.
And make sure you take a, you know, little sneaky poop breaks where you just go and sit in the toilet for a long time looking at your phone.
Get paid to shit. Get paid to scroll through, I don't know, any social media these days.
Get paid to sit on the toilet and do the entire New York Times crossword puzzle.
Oh, I'm often on the spelling bee, yeah. And I'm the boss. No one pays me. I'm just wasting time.
I was so disappointed in spelling bee the other day. I almost texted you about it. Because they wouldn't let me use turd as a word. And I was like, is turd not a word?
Turd is absolutely a word.
Absolutely a word.
They have so many words. Because there's a thing where you can be like, you missed a word. Yeah. But I'm not going to do that. That's your fucking job. I'm not the New York Times. I don't work for you.
No, because if you ever read any of those messages, it's just pedantic fucks going
on. I'm sure.
Like, rubbing their penises on their phones while they're like talking to these people.
Pieces of shit. Alan?
Yes, Katie?
What do you want to do next week?
I was thinking about I was thinking about doing Cocaine Bear. Do you want to do the Cocaine Bear with me, Katie?
Katie,
do you want to do
Cocaine Bear? Sit down. That's ecstasy.
I thought cokey people ground their teeth too.
I don't know.
I ain't never done no cocaine.
I haven't done enough to grind my teeth.
We're going to do Cocaine Bear because we want something fun.
Yeah. Life's been a bit of a slog recently. But Alan's been happy, so we need to keep it going. We need to keep
it. I should have been doing fine.
We need to ride this into the sunset, don't we?
I think I'm just happy not to be sick anymore.
Yeah. It puts your perspective on things.
Yeah, I hadn't had a cold for 3 years.
Yeah, that probably made you into a little bitch baby about it, huh?
I was actually better than I've been in the past.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I've been a real titty baby
in
the past.
Are you a titty baby?
Katie.
Alan.
Katie.
Alan.
Katie.
Yeah. Well,
Cocaine Bear, come back for that.
I am actually very excited for it.
You've not seen it, right?
No, yeah, okay. You?
Yeah, I've seen it.
God damn it, you've seen everything.
That's my thing, right? I watch a movie.
All right, so we'll see you guys next week for Cocaine Bear.
Yeah.
You can get at us on the internet. Really, you have to email us because I'm not even checking the Twitter anymore. I stopped doing that.
Really?
Well, Twitter's a butt.
Yeah, well, that's fine. He's going to start charging people just to use Twitter.
Really?
This is his new plan.
All right, fuck that.
Yeah.
But you can get more episodes from us on patreon.com/ Werewolf Ambulance. We do action movies. Like I said, we just recorded Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah, our whole back catalog is available.
Apparently, including Mission Impossible, which I'm sorry. I'm going to listen to that episode on my way home because I'm so sure I wasn't there. Like, I'm genuinely frightened.
Hey, Tom Cruise is really good in this. Yeah, Alan, I agree. Tom Cruise is really great.
Why did you use my phone to take notes?
I don't think he looks like Tig Notaro. You're wrong. I feel like Tig Notaro and Tom Cruise are melding into the same human being.
I'm going to Google that later.
Cocaine Bear, come back for it. Yeah. Go buy t-shirts on TeePublic. Thank you to everyone who's been doing that.
Yeah. You don't want to be a patron, or you can't be a patron, or you can only be a patron for a little bit, and then you have to stop being a patron. You can do that, and we love you anyway.
Yeah.
This shit will be free forever.
Yeah.
Till one of us dies.
Forever, ever.
Unless I've been dead all along. What if I've been dead all along, and that's why I don't remember Mission Impossible? Fuck.
Sometimes the Tom Cruises are trying to keep you here, but other times the Tom Cruises are trying to let you go.
Well, let me go. Do I have to have a job in heaven?
Thanks for listening to another episode of Werewolf. Ambulance.
Bye.
Bye.